Today, the Department of Health and Human Services is issuing an epidemic order to resume indoor dining on Monday, February 1st. I know this pandemic has hurt our restaurant owners, our restaurant workers, and all of their families. I want to thank...
That's Governor Gretchen Whitmer. For the first time since mid-November, you can now make reservations and grab a meal or drinks indoors at restaurants and bars in Michigan. People working in the industry are starting to show just a bit of cautious optimism. Maybe the return of indoor dining means that we're on a slow return to normalcy, but that's far from certain. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Michigan Radio's Tyler Scott has been talking to folks at restaurants in Southeast Michigan, and he's with us now. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, April. Good to talk to you again.
So what kind of demand are restaurants seeing right now? We're 2 days into the period in which Governor Whitmer said they could be open again.
Yeah, well, it seems there's always that slice of people who are wanting to and willing to go out and eat at a restaurant as soon as they're allowed to. I talked to more than a dozen restaurants in the past week about folks getting ready for this relaunch of indoor dining. And Monday, one of them at Singerman's Roadhouse in Ann Arbor, they had somebody standing outside the door at 8 o'clock in the morning waiting for them to open up for breakfast. From what I saw yesterday driving around Southeast Michigan, lunch was a little slow, but a lot of places were saying they were getting reservations, not just yesterday, but in the past few days and weeks, people looking to, go out to eat again and make Valentine's Day reservations right around the corner. So it seems that people are trying to get out there, even as other slices of the population. I talked to one restaurant owner who said, there's your group that'll be here as soon as they can. There's another group that's only going to eat outside no matter what, even now in the winter. And there's that third group that for now they'll get carry out, but we're not going to see them until we're truly in a post-pandemic situation.
Huh. Tyler, did you get a sense that most places are opening up for indoor dining if they have a chance to?
Yeah, it's kind of self-selecting a little bit because it's hard to talk to the restaurants who are closed down right now.
Right.
But the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association says, according to members that it surveyed, WXYZ-TV reported 60% said they were going to open up for indoor dining. And there's a lot of factors that go into it. I didn't talk to any restaurant manager or owner that expects to profit off 25% capacity, whether they're opening or not. But on the other hand, some people are opening up because they're a restaurant. That's what they're here to do.
How did you see owners of restaurants and operators reacting to the restrictions that are placed on indoor dining? I mean, everybody still has to stay pretty spaced out, right?
Yeah, and for the most part, there was a lot of frustration with the 25% number, but there are a few that between the new COVID variant that's in Southeast Michigan and the uncertainty right now of not exactly knowing what to expect between carryout and dine-in, what demand is going to look like. Like Amy Koopman, she's the general manager at Zaruna Mediterranean Grill in Kalamazoo. And she said she's actually pretty happy, and we have some tape, about that 25% restriction makes it kind of easier to ease back into things.
Actually, we're pretty relieved, honestly, about the 25% rule, just to kind of get the staff back into trying to handle indoor and out, or takeout and dining at the same time. So just kind of taking it easy at first.
She was concerned about a situation where, the dining room could be full at 25% and maybe the phone's also ringing off the hook for carryout. So still in this first week back, kind of feeling things out, not just in an operations way in terms of knowing what to expect for customers, but some places I've talked to also waiting to bring back some staff until they see, is this phase of indoor dining going to stick? Are we going to be able to go up in capacity soon? What exactly is going to happen? They're waiting to see.
Did anybody talk to you about the way that they're making these decisions about whether or not to stay open or, how many tables they're going to put outside or things like that?
Yeah, mostly for, like I said, other than Amy, a lot of restaurant owners that I talk to are feeling kind of hemmed in by the current restrictions. And like as I've said several times, operating at 25% capacity They're not going to make any profit. Several people said the same phrase to me, which was opening right now is only going to allow them to lose less money. But if they can bring people in the door, that's what they're going to do. Nobody put it to me better than Chris Szabo, who's the co-owner of the Antlers restaurant in Sault Ste. Marie up in the UP.
I mean, there's a break-even point for every business. And 25% of what we were normally doing sure ain't it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's better than nothing. No, it's not necessarily. You know, we're going to open because, you know, we want to see some faces. We want to get going. But it ain't going to make us any money.
And Chris told me that they scaled back their staff when they had to shut down indoor dining. They're down to a real skeleton crew at this point, and they're not bringing anybody back yet. They're going to see kind of how it goes at first.
It definitely sounds like survival mode. What does this mean for the restaurant industry workforce as far as jobs? I'm sure we're nowhere close to where we were in terms of employment levels.
Yeah, I haven't seen the numbers yet exactly, but I've just talked to so many restaurants in the past week that say, just like Szabo up there at the Antlers, we're not going to go hire everybody back immediately like we're prepared to go into a rush of indoor dining. Let's wait this out and take this slow. And, you know, it depends so much on restaurant by restaurant, business by business. If you've been able to get by okay with carryout, and delivery and that sort of thing, and you've got your staff that's been working at reduced hours, and then there are places that have had to lay everybody off because they've been totally shut down, and they don't want to bring people back now only to have to lay them off again if there's bad news down the road and indoor dining reverses course and gets shut down. Andy French owns Aubrey's Pizzeria in Ypsilanti, and he was telling me about exactly this.
25% is better than shut down, but it is still a difficult place for us to be. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't called anyone back. We really want to see kind of what this looks like.
French told me that when they opened for lunch, they were pleasantly surprised by what they saw as far as foot traffic. And they did have a couple reservations. But for now, you know, take it slow and easy.
Tyler, we are so far from having folks who were in service industry be part of a priority group in terms of vaccinations. Did you talk to any workers about how safe they feel about all this?
For the most part, there was a lot of eagerness to get back to work for people that I've seen just anecdotally on social media, in addition to who I've talked to. And the idea of workplace safety did come up as a concern, though, even with these restrictions in place. You know, your servers and your bartenders and the like are the people who are interfacing with customers who have to trust and depend on folks acting how they're supposed to act in this COVID area and stay safe. As far as vaccinations, one server I talked to, Brianna Duncan, she was telling me she can't wait to get vaccinated. She's been told that her job will help her get vaccinated through the local health department as soon as that supply is there on a local level. In the meantime, she just hopes that Brianna hopes that people will be, you know, courteous when they do go out.
I think it's really hit or miss. People either really care and they're really careful, or they don't at all, and you have to constantly remind them to put their mask back on. And you have to deal with, like, people being upset at you for doing your job. But, like, there's people like me. Like, I have a genetic blood disease. I will die if I get COVID. Yeah. But this is what I do. So, like, I'm not going to take myself out of what I do for a living, but I expect people to be respectful enough that I want to, like, live long enough to make it through COVID. And that's the biggest issue I think is going to be a problem with having everything open again.
So she's right at that crossroads of trying to balance safety with, you know, she's got to make a living.
Michigan Radio's Tyler Scott. Tyler, thank you so much for the update.
No problem.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, the owner of a restaurant in Traverse City talks to us about how winter's reopening is going at her business. We'll be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
We've been talking about the reopening of Michigan's restaurants and bars. It has been a dark, bleak winter for everyone in the service industry. We wanted to go back to someone who we first spoke with last spring. Amanda Danielson is the co-owner of Trattoria Stella in Traverse City. Her place serves fine Italian cuisine and fine wines. Amanda, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have any bookings yet?
We do. The phone started ringing. We actually are opening officially tomorrow, even though we could have on Monday. But the phone started ringing as soon as the governor announced February 1st.
This is just like what happened to you in the summer. I remember the last time we talked, you were absolutely swamped with reservations as soon as it became obvious that restaurants were going to be allowed to open doors.
I think the biggest difference is, if you remember when we opened in May, it was just our zone that was reopening, and it was also right before a holiday weekend. So we were inundated with calls from all over the state and country of people that were actually traveling to those few areas that were open for regular business. This time, the whole state is being treated as one unit. And so I think there's, and it's, you know, it's winter time here, even though it's a mild winter. And I think people are not as, they don't feel as forced. Like if they want to go out, they have to go up north. They can go out in their own restaurants, in their own neighborhoods, and their own towns and cities.
Sure. What were things like for you in November and December this year?
Miserable. I mean, we did the best that we could, for sure, trying to get creative and also trying to serve our community with lower price, because everybody's struggling a little bit. And so we had lower price family meals that were going to continue, that people could pre-order ahead of time. We created an online wine store. We started a wine club. We expanded our carryout options. We just really tried to get as creative as we could, especially given that we're in a historic building and had no opportunity for outdoor seating. So we really couldn't do any kind of actual table service. We had to rely exclusively on carryout sales, period.
And I know that you really did put some thought into this. There's a whole list of family meal menu options on the website that people have been able to choose from. How did that work out?
It worked out really well. You know, I think, like you said, without any dining capacity, you can't even talk about sales. They're minuscule compared to what we're accustomed to. And we really wanted to keep our management staff employed as well, because the unemployment benefits aren't nearly as close to their actual salaries as they previously were. So we made the business decision to try to just be that good member of the community that we've been, you know, for almost 17 years now, and try to create those opportunities where we can participate in the community, still serve the community, still maintain the high level of quality that we always have. And I think that the community, many of our regular guests turned out in response to that and in support of us, which was great. Unfortunately, without those in-house dining sales, you know, I mean, it was still, I mean, we lost more in November and December and up until, I mean, in all winter. It's just, it was devastating for our business. You know, we had to close to Franklin, and Stella will survive for sure on the strength of the people that work there. And the community, but it was a very, very challenging winter, and we just tried to make the most of it and stay as positive as we could as well.
Sure. How's your staff doing?
Great. You know, we kept our management staff, the whole team of managers, employed, which was wonderful. And actually, it's been fun to watch, because, you know, with so much less to do, We've got these very highly skilled people basically running the show, and they've been extraordinary, like truly extraordinary, watching them do that. And we brought our servers back, our top tier of servers back starting yesterday, just to get the dining room refreshed and ready to receive guests starting tomorrow. And everyone was just really chomping at the bit to get back to work, cleaning, just setting up the dining room. People are just excited. You know, honestly, I would say our staff is also on the mature side of things. It's not a young transient staff as some sectors of our industry tends to have. We have a very long, I think everybody there has been with us for over 10 years at least. So we have that level of commitment on the part of our staff, and it was great to see everybody's faces yesterday for sure.
Did everyone who you called choose to come back?
Yes, we haven't called back everybody yet, but everyone that we did call back of the house and front of the house has committed to coming back. And again, we saw all those faces of our front of the house, our service staff back yesterday.
How did it feel to be able to make those calls?
It was spectacular. Remember last time the unemployment benefits were significant, and for some people, depending on their position, they actually made more to stay at home. And just to receive the benefits plus the extra federal benefits. This time, that's not really the case. And so I think even though the people that we called would have come back no matter what, there will be, I think, with that next tier of people, less fallout than the last time because there aren't that financial reward for staying home.
Right. You know, I saw a photo on Instagram the other day that was taken in Los Angeles, and it showed restaurants, in a thriving business district, and the restaurant tables outdoors, of course, were absolutely packed. The person who posted it had a pretty harsh take on what he was seeing. His concern was that the working class in LA are paying the price because people with health insurance, people of means, want to dine out. There is no doubt in my mind that some people who are servers or who work in the kitchen are feeling enormous relief at having the opportunity to get back to work. But I'm sure that some of them are also very frightened about COVID and not sure when they're going to be able to get a vaccine. You know, I'm not trying to put all this on the back of restaurant owners, but are your feelings at all mixed about being able to reopen this week?
I'm more concerned about just how utterly unbalanced the response to this has been toward the restaurant industry. I'll give you an example. I can think of five people who have been able through whatever means to get vaccines who are really in their professions, not remotely at risk. And one of the factors that the CDC put out was to be able to get back to some level of social normalcy, which is how they determined the tiers, right? And the groups of people, a combination of public health and a combination of being able to return to some level of commerce. We should be on the front. I mean, I'm not worried about us reopening because we did it safely before and we'll do it safely again. We've always prioritized the safety of our staff and the safety of our guests. I know that we can do that safely. I have no problem enforcing the protocols from MDHHS. But my issue is that I don't think that people are doing enough, that the government is doing enough to support and protect those restaurant workers. They've already disproportionately affected our incomes, both from ownership all the way down to the front lines, to the bussers and the cooks and the dishwashers and the servers and the bartenders, et cetera. We should have greater priority in order to be able to take advantage of additional safety protocols. And I really believe that vaccines are one of those things. Now, that said, there are a lot of people that are high-risk people that also aren't being able to get it. And I'm not saying we should supersede that group, but there are plenty of people that are receiving the vaccine that, you know, work alone in an office or a lab, but somehow by some grace, they fall under a category and they really aren't nearly at risk, where we're dealing with the public every single day. It is our responsibility to keep ourselves safe. I flew recently and I wore my KN95 mask and a surgical mask over it just because I know it's my responsibility to keep myself safe. And my staff will certainly do that too. We actually provide them with masks that are safe and CDC compliant. But I think that extra layer of safety and comfort would be a wonderful thing to offer to an industry that's been disproportionately affected in a negative way by all the policies since the beginning and certainly since November.
Right. Amanda, I saw in the ticker you're going to participate in the city's Restaurant Week. That's coming up February 21st to March 6th. What do you think that's going to look like at reduced capacity this year?
I mean, like I said before, whenever I was on in the spring, that to give us a percentage is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because what the fire marshal says, and then you try to calculate 25% or 50%, it just doesn't make sense. The focus has to be on distancing, having at least 6 feet between everybody, and then, you know, obviously maintaining all those, the social, all the standards with mask usage, et cetera, sanitation, et cetera. With Restaurant Week, when we would generally have a large influx of people, you could include Valentine's Day in that as well, right? It's generally packed to the gills no matter what day of week it is on Valentine's Day. Well, we're at 25% or less in order to maintain social distancing. So we'll see, I think, a maximum amount of traffic in our dining rooms, but we won't, it's not going to compare in terms of sales. In addition to that, in order to accommodate both the carry out side of things and the in-house dining, where previous years we've had Restaurant Week menu offered in addition to our regular dining menu, we'll be offering exclusively the Restaurant Week menu for both carry out and in-house, because with not knowing what we can expect from that carry out side of things, we want to make sure that the kitchen can execute effectively. So it's, and it's 2 weeks this year. We'll see. You know, we're going to do the best we can. We've always supported Restaurant Week. We think it's a great thing for the community, but it's going to look very different this year. And people want to get in. They always do. And we try to accommodate as many as possible, but obviously it's going to be far fewer.
Amanda Danielson is the co-owner of Trattoria Stella in Traverse City. Amanda, thank you so much for talking to us, and we wish you all the luck for the rest of the winter.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
One final thing to Amanda's point about prioritizing people who are working on the front lines in restaurants. We just heard that Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan has just expanded vaccine eligibility to people who are working at the city's restaurants and grocery stores. But don't forget, vaccines are still in extremely short supply. And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. We hope you can get a chance to rate and review our podcast today. And if you're not subscribed, please do sign up. While you're at it, share us with a friend. They'd probably like to hear what we're doing too. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.